My guest today is actress Erica Hubbard, who started her career doing voiceovers and starring in TV commercials. But then after graduating, Erica already had her own television show on WPWR, a UPN affiliate in Chicago. But before Erica's third season was aired, she received a regional Emmy and earned a Service to America Award from the National Association of Broadcasters. This was a result of hosting the children teen show Up and Running. Now, Erica has had roles in feature films distributed by Paramount, 20th Century Fox, and others, and she has starred in television shows on various networks such as CBS and NBC, even MTV and the WB. But Erica's incredible resume also includes credits such as Save the Last Dance, A Cinderella Story, Light It Up, and The Sisterhood of the Traveling Pants. But guess what? She will be starring in the upcoming season of BET's Carl Weber's The Family Business New Orleans. So ladies and gentlemen, let's welcome one of the most experienced actresses on television today, Erica Hubbard, to the show. Welcome, Erica.
Hi. Thank you for having me on the show.
Yeah.
Beautiful introduction.
Well, it goes along with a beautiful person like you, and I am so shocked. Like I was saying before we went on air, I think you get younger looking every year.
I appreciate it. It's the water.
It's the water. Well, tell me, what was your very first role on television?
Ooh, my very first role on television would be a commercial. I did a national commercial, which is posted on my Instagram page for Chick-fil-A. So it was fun. It was me just eating Chick-fil-A all day and biting into it and being happy. And that was an easy job because Chick-fil-A was good. So that was my very first.
Well, back in the day then, so that means all of your auditions were in person, correct?
Oh, yes. We didn't have on tape. We had to go in, meet everybody, stand in the room with all our nerves. And I was like 8 or 9 years old. So my parents were like, just go in there, doing my hair, making sure everything was cool, my clothes. And they were just like, go in there and just be personable. And I'm like, what's personable? Be happy. So that's how I started out at 8 or 9. But I have to mention, I did a lot of theater, you know, growing up in Chicago. So I did a lot of stage work. We're a big theater town. So I didn't have that much fright going into the room because I kind of got my nerves out like on stage. Some people have a lot of stage fright. And at that age, I kind of did. But then I became a natural at it. And so I was told, and then that's why I kept working.
Well, sounds like to me you had very supportive parents. Were they in the theater scene?
No. My dad is just, my biggest advocate. And I'm a daddy's girl. So even to this day, before I get on the interview, he's like, are you ready? You okay? All right, good luck. Break a leg. I'm like, okay, dad. So I just have a very supportive dad, and I'm just going to say what it is. He's a stage parent. So I have a stage parent for a dad, and so he's always been like, you know, cheerleading me on.
Well, I guess that your parents actually saw that you already had star quality. So how did you, you know, being 8 or 9, how did you get into, you know, entertainment at such a very young age?
Ooh, well, I started going back before I did television and film. I did modeling. So I was doing modeling for a lot of different stores. And my dad had a best friend that handled the clothes that goes to the models. And he's like, okay, we're just booking her, but she's not rep. We need an agent for her, and you guys want to take this serious. And so I was like, yeah, why not? And my dad was like, yeah. So I signed up with an agent, and I was with Ford Models for a long time. I ended up booking Clean and Clear campaign. I booked the Hallmark campaign. I booked I was the Noxzema girl. So I started doing the modeling thing. And then that got me into the commercial world. And then the commercial world got me into the TV and film world.
That's what, you know, when I saw your resume, I saw that you were a Noxzema girl. Most people won't even remember what Noxzema is, but I still remember. It's, you know, the commercials were like putting the white circle foam on your face. And I remember that to this day. So I think that is so cool. So if you already had an agent and you went to school and the teacher asked you to do something, did you just say, well, you need to talk to my agent?
No, I didn't say that. I may have thought that, but I didn't say it.
Well, I love that. Well, you know, you had, now I was also surprised that you had your own TV show after graduating college, which that aired on WPWR in Chicago. How many seasons was your show?
Woo, the show went on for like maybe 3 or 4 years. So I hosted the kids show in Chicago, which was fun. It was so much fun. I actually got that opportunity because I saw a post at my college. So I went to Columbia College in Chicago, and I was in the theater department because I trained there in the theater department under Sheldon Patinkin. He was the chair. And I saw this post on the bulletin. I was like, huh, host? And so I took a taxi cab down to the studio and just auditioned for them. And lo and behold, I ended up booking the part. So I did that for about four years, I want to say.
You know, so what is so interesting about that is, you know, we all know that Oprah, you know, she started, you know, when she got into hosting a television show, it was Chicago. And that was even before it was even syndicated, you know, across the country. Did you have any thoughts of your career going that route?
I mean, big fan of Oprah. Huge fan of Oprah. I did an Oprah commercial here in Chicago, and I didn't have any thoughts of it going anywhere. I just had fun where what I was doing. And I think my career has, I've had the longevity in my career because I always have fun. You know, what's the good of doing something if you're not having fun doing it? So I just love the business. I'm passionate about it. And I think people see that in my work, and then it kind of, you know, catapults into the next opportunity.
Well, you've been in feature films. You've been in multiple different television series for quite a while now. And even before the pandemic, during the pandemic, and even after, for you, what changes have you seen over those years when it comes to going through the whole casting process?
I think the industry is more open to see more people. Before, it was a tight circle. They would hardly let you in. It was hard to get an agent. It was hard for casting to see you. Producers didn't want to see you unless you had a bunch of credits. You had to be unionized. All of that has changed. So it's more opportunities for people with less experience to get in, you know, get in the door and book. So I'm working with all different levels and meeting all different levels of actors, which is cool. It's really cool. I've worked with some people that are so happy to get their foot in the door. You could just, you know, feel the passion from them. And so, and then I work with top-notch people. Like, I'm still not over the fact that I was in Akeelah and the Bee. People were, you were in Akeelah and the Bee. I was like, I was? Oh, I was. Oh, I'm still not over that, because that audition process, back then, I had to go in like two or three times, maybe three times. And so, just meeting Lawrence Fishburne and Angela Bassett. Oh my gosh. It's still a dream come true to me. So I'm just happy, you know, just to work with all these talented people that I've worked with over the years. And including, let's say, Chadwick, you know, rest in peace. I always like to mention him in the interviews because he helped me out a lot on Lincoln Heights. I mean, sitting next to him while he was performing, it's one of the best training a thespian can have, you know? And so I was just in awe of his work and his talent. So rest in peace to him. But just being also Lincoln Heights, Russell Hornsby, just for 4 years looking at his work and being in the same room as him and Richard Roundtree, is just, all of it's a dream come true, you know? Going back to Columbia College, you know, they prepped me to be in those rooms with different techniques. And so a lot of people ask me what techniques, and I always always say, you know, everybody has their own particular techniques they use on camera, to each his own, but I like to put them all together, you know, and use about four or five. So I just think it keeps the characters bright and fun. And I think nothing is the same with my characters because I'm using different techniques for different roles.
Well, yeah. And at the same time, for you walking in there doing something like that, it shows them that you have a wider range and you're a bit more of the full package compared to some of those that come in there with only one element, maybe two elements. Yeah. Maybe they don't have the experience because you have a lot of experience. And you know now that even if it's in person, you probably know now how to read the room.
I do. I can read the room. And then I can also tell what technique an actor's using or if they are using a technique. And then also... just pull them along. In school, they teach you about pulling an actor or actress, which I think is so important. People don't talk about it. They just think, it's my lines. I just say my lines. Like, no, sometimes the person, the moments aren't there and the beats aren't there. So you got to kind of pull them, you know, it's like a rhythm. And so it's like a little game you play with them. They don't know you're doing it. But it makes the scene so much better.
Well, let me ask you this, because you're talking about pulling out these elements, you're talking about, yeah, you know, knowing the beats. Yes. How does that work between doing an in-person audition, which is pretty much like a one-shot deal, versus sitting there filming yourself for a self-tape, which you could end up doing 10 takes until you're like, yeah, I like that one better, before you send it in?
Great question. A phenomenal question. I don't know how it works. I don't know the self-tape. I'm old-fashioned where I go in the room, we connect, and they say, you know, you book the job. So, I mean, I just like, you know, meeting the director and the producers, which are starting to open it up now again. That's exciting. Or you can get on a phone call with them if they're, you know, in a different country and you guys are talking about the character. So I get a lot of opportunities like that, just like, let's just meetings. Let's talk about the character and where you see the character. But the taping thing, oh my gosh, that is still hard. You just don't know. You really don't know.
Well, with a self-tape, and let's just say, focused on you. When you do a self-tape, are you only the one in the room, or do you have somebody to maybe play the other part, or maybe be someone where you, it's like being a performer in theater that plays off the audience. Do you do it that way, or is it just strictly by yourself?
No, you have a reader with you. So your reader, you guys bounce off of each other. And the good thing about the self-tapes is you could do it as many times as you like. Where the old-fashioned days, you couldn't do that. You had one shot. Let's go. Oh, you got it. Or you didn't get it. You know, the pressure. But now the self-tapes, you could do it 100 times or many times as you want. Fix your hair. Do the shoulder. Do this. Do whatever you want. And they don't know. And you know, and then what you can have people look over your work, and then they can pick it out for you. So it's just self-tape is much easier. But a lot of times people are troubled with that self-tape thing, and I can see why. I mean, because sometimes you don't know which is a good take. You know, you can't send them four or five takes for one scene. You know, the most maybe two. So sometimes it's like, which one's good, which one's not, you know? So it's just, you know, you just see what happens and cross your fingers with that.
Yeah. And, you know, I've talked to other seasoned actors like yourself. A lot of them still lean towards liking the in-person.
Yes.
A very few like the self-tape because I think for them, I think for those that are really confident in person, for those that are like, not sure, maybe they have that little tiny bit of insecurity, I think they lean on the self-tape. And I think now for a lot of actors, do you feel that it could be a tiny little crutch for some?
It could, depending, like you said, just I think depending on the level of experience that the person has, the time crutch. Because you know what? Some people have a knack for it, and some people have to like just keep doing it over and over and over and over and over, you know? As far as me, I just kind of just put it out there. You know, I play so many different characters. I mean, I've played the homeless girl, the prostitute, a lesbian, the doctor, the shy girl, the girlfriend, the wife. I don't really have apprehension when it's dealing with that, because it's more than likely it's a character that I've already portrayed, and I can kind of like, you know, remember what I did before and take a little bit of that character and put it into this character. So the one good thing that I have to mention is that now I'm playing a character, a card reader, a tarot card reader.
Yeah, well, that
This is
worked.
fun. This is
And
fun.
that
Yes,
works
she's on the
per.
new. Okay, I won't give much away,
Well,
but
no, because
if she,
that works perfectly in New Orleans.
It's, oh my gosh, she reads people's futures. And let's just say some people run out the room. And some people are just stuck like, oh, it's such good writing. It's such good writing. I mean, I'm thankful to be working under Carl Weber and Tristestin and BET Family again. You know, I was on their first original television show on their network, Let's Stay Together. So that was their very first original television show. So just to be back home on that network, it's just amazing.
Well, you know, and you and I have, we mentioned this before before our interview, and you know, BET Plus, their programming has skyrocketed in popularity. Extremely high quality shows, stellar casting across the spectrum of their network. For you, how did that role on the Family Business New Orleans come to you?
Just being in the business for so long, 30 plus years. Did you hear how years? Okay, so I don't know if you guys heard that, but anyway, for being in the business for so long, I worked with the team before on a classic of a film that people want to see the sequel to called Black Coffee. So I worked with the team and they remember my work from there and they're like, we got something for you. So I was like, I'm ready. And I'm back again with friends, you know, they're not just people I work with, they're friends. So I'm elated.
Well, that must be very reassuring for you to have someone come to you and go, "Hey, we have something for you," which means they already want you.
In all humility, I'm grateful. I get a lot of my opportunities because people have worked with me before. The Christmas film I did, the wedding film I did, the other film. This is it's just people, just friends and people knowing my work. So I'm appreciative of everybody that calls me and says
Well,
I have something.
you have a perfect personality for comedy.
Oh, thank you. Thank you.
To me, you wouldn't even have to try.
Oh, I appreciate it. Oh, I appreciate it. You know what? I can't take, let me not take any credit. I'm like, I appreciate it. I appreciate, no, let me give the credit to, let me just take it back. I give the credit to my training, you know, my stage training. You know, I worked with some dynamite people from Goodman Theater, Second City, The Looking Glass, Steppenwolf, Improv Olympic. So I have all these techniques in my head from over the years, and so that's just where it comes from, the training.
Well, in the last 20 years,
Oh, and Groundlings. Let's put Groundlings out there too for anybody. Then we have family from the Groundlings, though. So. But I'm sorry, in the
yeah,
last 20.
all right, so in the last 20 years, for you, how has television and film, are they doing better in the area of diversity?
I mean, it can always be more. I see roles out there, but I don't see a bunch of roles like, you know, as you do for other nationalities. So I would like to see more opportunities. Yeah, and with that being said, more phone calls. More phone calls. with those phone calls on the other sense, I like to work with you. I have something for you.
Well, you
so
know,
I'm like ready.
I interview so many people from different cultures, different nationalities, different races when it comes to, especially in film. And I always love talking to like female producers, female directors, yeah, because that's a tough category. And then I had the absolute honor to just recently interview Misson Harriman, whose short film, The After, was nominated for an Oscar. And, but what I haven't seen yet is, do you think that we're going to see a black female director rise to the top here in the near future?
Well, Ava DuVernay has most definitely filled some shoes doing that. And I look up to her. I knew her since Lincoln Heights days. You know, she was working on that television show. And, oh my gosh, just to, you know, have the opportunity to be in her presence. So she has done a phenomenal job with directing. And as far as producing, going back to that question, it is very hard. It's very hard. I just joined the PGA after 13 years of trying to get in. And I'm thankful that I'm finally a unionized producer. But it was the vetting process, as they call it, was very hard. But now it's like once you get in, it's like, yay, I get to create. And so there's more opportunities happening. And this right here, the talks are great because we put this out there and then people see this and they start to say, yeah, you're right, let's create more. So
well, you see, that's the thing that I have absolutely fell in love with is talking, because I talk with so many film directors from all over the world, and you get a different perspective on where they're from. You know, yeah, it could be, yeah, sure, it could be Black America, but it could be South Africa. I mean, it could be Jamaica. I mean, I've talked to people from Iraq and Jordan and all of these other types of countries that people would have never even realized was that there are film people there. But you get to hear where everybody is coming from, what they are dealing with, the stories that they get to tell, the stories that they need to tell. And, you know, and people need to realize that in this world, all, you know, our blood is the same color. And,
and we
need to listen.
Blue,
we need
right?
And we need to enjoy each other's stories when they are projected on film, because to me, it's like, oh, because then we're learning about one another if we would just sit down and listen.
You know what? It's just, and good films and television shows, all nationalities like it. It's not like Lincoln Heights. We had I think it's like playing in a Middle Eastern country now, because somebody sent me, like, I had to do a translation on Instagram. So it's going all over. Good projects travel well and they're well received.
Very much so for you, because, you know, everybody loves the Family Business series. Do you have a dream role that you would love to have?
Yeah, I actually do. I believe it or not, do stunts. I love stunts. So with that being said, I would most definitely like to be, what is it? A something woman. I don't want to say what it is, but it's like a woman. You know, if they reprise that role, I'm here for it. You know, I've been working out. And I'm ready. I'm determined. I'm focused. Tunnel vision. Let's go. Let's do it. So,
well, you could be a Bond girl. You could be, you know, in Mission Impossible. You know, the thing was so funny. And then, you know, they've already chosen the next James Bond, and I was the one going, but I want Idris Elba.
Idris Elba stays working. He is just a dynamite of a person. His work is always just like perfect. Perfect. So, oh my gosh, just to start opposite of him, let me put that out there in the atmosphere and manifest that. I would love to work with him.
Well, which actor or actress ever made you nervous when you met them for the first time?
Lawrence Fishburne. Just a bit, you know, because, okay, because, oh my gosh, he was working when he was like 13 or something, or 14. And I've seen all his work. He's incredible. And his presence is so demanding. When this actors, thespians, if you guys know what that is, so to be in front of him, and I had to ad lib. I had to improv. I improv. I ad lib for maybe. I was like, I want this role. I'm going to just for like 15 minutes straight. And they were like, okay. And I was like, did I get the part? But in that, on that, they take you off book. Because I think they just want to see how you can really delve into the character. And can you add more to the character and become the character? Are you the character? And so when you get to that level, and him looking at me, I was like, but then I get to work with Curtis Armstrong. Oh my gosh, you know, he was in Revenge of the Nerds. So I went with some heavy hitters in there, and just is a dream come true. But also, I mean, a lot of times, you know, just working next to Blake Lively and Hilary Duff, like, you know, early on in my career, I was in awe of their work. You know, I grew up watching them. I mean, it's Lizzie McGuire. It's just like, so their dedication to the arts is phenomenal. You know, just the dedication.
For you, if you could pick three leading men to star with, who would they be?
Oh, wow. Okay. Oh, here we go. This is a good question. Okay, my mind's racing now. Okay, so people who I respect in the craft, if I can work with three people, Bradley Cooper, Don Cheadle, and Denzel Washington. Can I add a fourth one in there? I add a fourth one? Yes, Michael B. Jordan. Okay.
Boy, that's a very high-end class, because I watched Maestro, so I know Bradley Cooper can bring it. And yes. Michael B. Jordan, to me, it's almost like a lot of his roles are almost effortless. Where, yeah. Now, of course, you brought up Chadwick earlier. And if Chadwick was still with us today, he would be the force to be reckoned with. I mean, he would be at the very top. I mean, he would literally be standing toe-to-toe and equal with Denzel.
Yeah. Yeah, he most definitely would have got an Academy Award. So he most definitely would have had that, received that, you know. So he in our 20s, he was already so dedicated to the craft. You know, we're 20s. Hey, hi. Oh, he's like, are you ready? Stay ready. Are you ready? Let's get ready. And I'm like, and he just was like on it. And he forced people to level up with him. So that's the one great thing of being in his presence, is he brought excellence out of people.
And see, that to me makes a great actor, where it's not just about them. It's also making the people around them even better.
Yeah, he really did. He really cared about the scene and the performances and just... making everything flow. And I think he's just a true thespian. You can tell when people are thespians and they really care about the craft. And he put his heart into it. And Russell, too, he's probably going to get me by saying this, but one day he did a scene on Lincoln Heights. And afterwards, he said, bring in the oxygen tank. And he said, he put so much energy into that scene. He could hardly breathe. And I was like, wow, I want to be like that. I want to just put your whole like being in soul into the scene, where you're like, you know. So, oh my gosh! Shout out to Russell Hornsby, who transforms into each character he plays. It's never a dull moment with him.
You know, I love the stories, because I was talking with a film producer last week who worked with Tom Cruise, and I said, well, what's it like when he's on set? And he just kind of paused, and he's like, he's the first one that shows up. He's the last one to leave. It's all business on set, and he expects everybody else to fall into line, but he wants everybody else to be better.
Yes. Oh my gosh, I'm working with two performers now, three performers that I just want to shout out. I want to shout out Pooch Hall, who plays the love interest in the Family Business, New Orleans, the spinoff. And then also Brandon T. Jackson, his commitment to scenes is phenomenal. And then I got a chance to witness Orlando Jones' work and his commitment. And Yvette and Lila Roshan, I'm just like, the cast is mind-blowing for this TV series. I'm just like, wow. But their commitment to the scenes and performance levels are extraordinary. Extraordinary. So I just like dedicated people who people live and breathe, you know, the characters, the roles. Some of them stay in the character. Some of them, I'm like, are they messing? You know, but I love what they're delivering.
Well, see, and that's what I love about BET's programming because they have extraordinary writers and
Yes.
all of the characters, I mean, they bring their A game to the table. But I've also wanted to ask you too because are there any leading ladies out there or are actresses that intimidate you?
Tilda Swinton. I've never met her, but her work intimidates me if I was to meet her. Glenn Close. I study her work very close. Glenn Close. Oh my gosh. Brilliance. Meryl Streep, brilliance. Viola Davis, brilliance. So a lot of the experienced performers. I study Hilary Swank. I study a lot of stuff, experience, well experienced performers, and woo,
Well,
they're working.
when you said Swinton, I agree
Tilda,
with you there.
I love her. I love you. If she sees this, I love her performances,
She's
and I,
intense.
yeah, I
Oh.
would just. Gosh, what just almost like Sally Field, more like Sally Fields too. I just her performances too. Shirley MacLaine, can I say that? I just want to say her name, just to say her name. I don't think she gets enough credit. Shirley MacLaine. Oh
I agree.
my gosh, they're good
I
characters.
agree with you there. I don't think
Woo!
Shirley gets as much credit as she deserves. I mean, she's
Oh,
almost what, 90 now?
yes. If we could just have a special about her, because the amount that of energy she exudes in her performances, where does she go? She's not even in her own body. It's like an outer body experience for her. And her work is just so mesmerizing. So the greats, I shout out to the greats and Angela Bassett, who just won her Oscar. So I was excited about that for her.
Very, very much so. Now, for you, what new projects do you have coming up this year besides the Family
Yes.
Business New Orleans?
People are overlooking it because they don't think it's me. I transform into this character. Yeah. So I play a lesbian, and she's a mayor of a town. Yeah, it's totally different from Ernestine on The Family Business. But I was thank you for Mark Harris for allowing me the opportunity to transform into this character. And it's a drama. And he's posted it on his page, and people are not even thinking it's me. I posted it on the page. And the performance, I changed it. The voice has changed. The body language changed. The wardrobe's changed. My face has changed. The hair has changed. So I tried to be as much of a chameleon as I could for this role. So yeah, thank you to it's called Black Cats.
Ah, well, now tell me something about the Erica Hubbard Foundation.
Yes, most definitely. My nonprofit, the Erica Hubbard Foundation, was founded by me because, you know, I grew up on the south side of Chicago in a war zone. We used to call them war zones, if anybody's from Chicago, you know, or people call them from the I'm from the trenches. So I grew up off of 87th and Stony on the south side. A lot of gang violence and drugs and prostitution. So I was one of those kids that came up out of that situation by mentors, and my life was saved. I survived. So fast forward, I created a nonprofit for youth that are stuck in those environments. They don't see a way out. So I encourage them, I empower them, I try to motivate, inspire them that they're not who they are in that environment, but they are who they are when they think themselves out of the environment, like, what do you want to be? You know, you can be. You just got to stay focused and don't look at your surroundings and don't let the negativity penetrate you. You just keep positive, with positive mindset. You will make it out the community such as I did. And so I try to inspire as many kids as I can from neighborhoods, at-risk neighborhoods. And it's near and dear to my heart. And then also we distribute scholarships for children in need going to college, graduating from high school.
Well, I know one thing. You have set the example. You've set the standard for other young people to follow, that if they just look at you, they know they can make it.
Thank you. Thank you so much. Thank you.
And where can all of my viewers and listeners become new fans of yours? Where can they find you?
Yes, please find me on Instagram. My handle is one, the numeric one, Erica Hubbard, E-R-I-C-A-H-U-B-B-A-R-D, like old Mother Hubbard, one Erica Hubbard. And then on Facebook, it's just Erica Hubbard. I'm on Twitter, formerly known as Twitter. I'm on that social media site and Threads. I'm all over. And just, you know, I appreciate everybody supporting my work. And thank you so much for allowing me into your homes and into the movie theaters and, you know, on streaming platforms to entertain you. So thank you, everybody, for the support.
Hey, oh, and when does the Family Business New Orleans debut this year?
Yes, we're coming out the fall season. So it's going to be hot.
It's going to be hot. And ladies and gentlemen, you need to check it out on BET Plus. It'll be Carl Weber's The Family Business New Orleans. And you got to get ready because Erica Hubbard is going to rock your television screen, so you better sit back and hold on. It's going to be a fantastic series, just like the original Family Business. It's at the top, and this one is coming in hard and fast for the new fall season. And Erica, I have had an absolute blast with you today.
Thank you. Thank you so much. It's really, really exciting to be here with you. So thank you.
Well, you're very welcome. And ladies and gentlemen, again, follow Erica Hubbard on Instagram at one. That's the number one. It's at the bottom of your screen, at one Erica Hubbard. Become a follower, become a fan. Check out her past work and current work, because I'll tell you one thing. She's not going anywhere. She's going to continue to climb to the top, and probably more Emmys. Who knows? Maybe an Oscar in the future is in her path. But she is setting an example also for all of the youth in the Chicago area and around the country to let them know, work hard. You can make it out of that situation, because dreams do come true. And again, Erica, you've been a great blessing.
Thank you. Thank you. Thanks again for having me. Everybody, thank you so much.
You're very welcome. And ladies and gentlemen, you can catch all of the replays of our interviews with the top film directors, producers, screenwriters, and actors, just like Erica Hubbard, and more at Bond on Cinema. We're also available on YouTube and a dozen audio platforms as well. So I want to thank you for watching and listening. And as for me, hey, I'll either see you at the movies or from the red carpet.